1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Coming to work tonight, I was coming up from Sony Studios in Culver City, and what's happening these days, so you know, I'm doing a television show, rehearsing, and doing the things necessary for that, and then I come to the radio show at night. I'm not complaining, I just wanted you to know what my day is like. And so we knock off down there, I guess around, so say, 4 in the afternoon, and then I come here, and we begin to prepare our show for the evening. And as I was driving up the 405, and this is a disgusting freeway, the 405, but what are you going to do about it? I finally got off the freeway, and I thought that I was, home free until I hit Sepulveda. And Sepulveda used to be the north-south, many, many years ago, the north-south artery for the west side of Los Angeles. It was a street called Sepulveda. You could take, to this day, you could take Sepulveda all the way up to the desert. For those of you who visited out here, you know a little bit of what I'm talking about. But the essential point of this is, as I got off of Sepulveda, I sat there for 10 minutes trying to get through a red light. Now, the thing that bothers me, I don't know. When a guy gets elected mayor, like this new guy that we got, the new mayor of L.A., and I can't pronounce his name, forgive me, I should be more informed, but I don't want to be. I want to be dumb. I just want to stay as dumb as I can for as long as I can, and then just die dumb and rich. That's why I'm doing TV. Anyway, the guy's name is V something, Villagarosa. Okay, so this guy got into office. He said, I'm going to put a traffic cop there at Ventura and Sepulveda to help alleviate the traffic. Well, it ain't happened, man. Now, I don't know what you tell those guys. I don't know what days they're supposed to be there. From my observation, it doesn't matter. Because even when the cop's there, and if you think I'm kidding, I dare you, anybody in the mayor's office, to take a drive out there on any day that there's a cop standing in Ventura and Sepulveda. Go ahead, try to get down Ventura, try to get up Sepulveda, man. The traffic's backed up for blocks. Now, I don't know what they tell that cop. I'm not criticizing him. But if all you're going to do is stick a guy out there with a Mickey Mouse gloves and that ice cream man hat, and he's going to stand and kind of wave his arms around like he's trying out for the drill team, hell, I'll do that. I mean, the poor guy, whether he knows what he's doing, I don't know. So today, a Thursday, there's no cop there. Now, is the city so broke you can't keep a cop there every day? Was that some kind of a campaign promise, that one of those flimsy little promises that you stick a guy there a few days and you figure that you fulfilled a campaign promise? What is that? If you're going to have cops out there, man, directing traffic, you got to do it the way those guys do it that are serious. Like they have those little traffic stands and the guy stands up in that thing and he's waving the traffic through. Or the way the New York cops do it. And they start, in New York, you get a $300 ticket if you gridlock. If you're parked at an intersection against a light and you're blocking traffic trying to cross, $300, baby. And they ticket people in New York for that. And it eliminated gridlock in New York City. L.A., forget it. Here's a city, the city of Los Angeles, that has more automobiles than any other city possibly in the history of the universe, and has less of an idea of what to do with them than any city in the history of the world. In other words, we've got all kinds of cars, and we don't have a clue on how to move them. Take a town like, Salt Lake City. What, do they got four cars there? Man, they got light rail, they got subways, they got a monorail, they've got a particle beam projector there, man. You can get in and go, beam me up. The Mormons are shooting themselves through space over there, man. And they got six people living there. Portland's got rail. What? I bet you San Diego's got some bullet train that they're planning. But L.A.? We got freeways, baby, and more cars, and nowhere to put them. So they spill out onto the street. And what's the solution? Let's get a cop out there with a Mickey Mouse gloves. He stands there, waves the Mickey Mouse gloves around 3 days a week. And the other 2 days, I guess they can't afford it. And even the days that he's there, everything's just backed up till tomorrow, baby. We're all in a heap out here, man. We need some relief. I don't know what it's going to take, but good God. So anyway, today, that's what I literally left this place, Culver City, at like 4, and it took me 45 minutes, a trip that should only really take about 20. It's a wild thing commuting in this town. You have a variety of different ways to get somewhere, but often you know, you've got to choose the right way or you are screwed, man. Where I live, there's one freeway to 101, or I can go down to the Pacific Coast Highway. I do that now. And I go down there, and that's kind of cool, but they're doing construction. The hill is falling down every other day. You never know whether there's going to be a mudslide. The only point I'm trying to make here, and I'm not going to belabor it, is if you're the anybody with the mayor's office of the city of Los Angeles, knock it off with this cop out here. Get serious or get him out of there. I don't know what you guys think. What are you doing? That's the busiest intersection in the world. Did you know that? Ventura and Sepulveda, the busiest intersection in the world. Now, when you think about this, places like Shanghai, China, that's pretty impressive. You ever been to Shanghai? There's 86 billion people within a square block. There's 18 trillion bicycles. 9 million guys trying to get across the street at once. But out here, we got the busiest intersection that man has ever known. You can think about the time of the pharaohs. You can go back to the days of Alexander, the Roman Empire, and on and on and on, the British Empire. But right out here at Sepulveda, and there's a guy in Mickey Mouse gloves? One guy. Something's got to happen. It's got to happen fast, or I'm afraid road rage will strike. Henry will get out of his car. I'll begin. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to strip. You'll just see a guy streaking nude. That's it. You know, I'll have lost it. I'm just, if there isn't traffic, that is, if the traffic don't lighten up out there by next week, my clothes come off at 4. Right out there at Sepulveda and Ventura. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show tonight. We will have for you our flashback by request. We are still discussing whether we're going to have Art Griego on. Probably not, because he was on last night. So screw you, Art. You're just going to have to wait in line, man. You and that cornball business you got. And we'll read a little bit of email. And we certainly do, again, thank you for all of the cards and the letters and the nice comments that you guys made. My mother died last week. Boy, that's wild, man. And now Maria's mom is sick. And it's just all happening at once at our house. And she's on her way down there now. She's taking care of her mom. And what a drag. You know what I'm saying? What a drag when your folks get old, man. It's going to happen to me, too. I'll never forget my old man saying to me, he said this to me. My father said, "No, when I don't want you putting me in any old folks' home, when the time comes, just tie my hand to the tiller of this sailboat," because my dad sailed, "and just send me out to the Pacific Ocean." Well, I mean, it sounds good at the time, but you can't do that. I'd get arrested. You see me carrying my old man down to the dock, throwing him on a boat, tying him into it, just sending it out there. I'm arrested. The boat will probably sink. So we're going through all kinds of stuff. And, yeah. But in any event, it was fun Tuesday night. And next week we'll be taping. If you guys want to go see the show, go to our website. Click on the link that says Teachers, and we'll get you in. Really nice folks over there, and you can come watch us. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
This is a flashback request. It's a very bizarre letter. It comes to us from Sean in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He writes, "Hi, Phil. On March 8th, 2005, Lloyd Bonafide came on your show to sing Who Let the Dogs Out, which turned into Who Let the Whores Out. This bit just kills me. After hearing it, we went to a karaoke bar, and I just had to sing Lloyd's version. I had the dancing around, the heavy breathing, barking, and the whores in there. After I sang it, I had a group of girls come up and tell me how great it was. Can you please play this clip as a flashback?" No, no, Sean, I'm not going to, just because your email is so freaking weird. There's no way, dude. Are you kidding me? I went to a karaoke, and you had a bunch of girls.
Well, you had bull haircuts.
Who? The girls?
Yeah, the karaoke.
Yeah, that's right, man. The girls in the Japanese. Get out of here. All right, so Sean, here it is, brother. This is Lloyd singing Who Let the Dogs Out, which turns into Who Let the Whores Out, from March of last year on the Phil Henry Show. Do we have Lloyd Bonafide? Lloyd?
Yes, sir. Can I just jump in with a comment, if I could, Mr. Henry? I think Walter Cronkite is down there was a newsman.
He was good.
And the fact that Dan Rather is retiring from CBS News after the vilification of President Bush.
You think he actively tried to undermine President Bush?
Oh, come on. You could see that coming a mile away. You could see that coming a mile away. I'm a Korean War veteran, and nobody but nobody tries to jump me. And Dan Rather tried to chump me during the whole, and the National Guard and the whole GD thing.
Well, I know you're getting upset. I know you wanted to come on here and sing the Baja Men. How did you pick that song?
I think it's so. I love that song. What do you mean, how did I pick it?
It's a favorite of yours?
Oh, Jesus, H.S., I love it. It to me, it says it all. It has an element of violence in it. And so I want to sing that, but I just want to make my point about Dan Rather. I think that what sunk Dan Rather was the fact that he couldn't help himself. He was a born turd.
Okay. Let's just get to the song, all right?
All right, this is called Who Let... Are you rolling tape?
Yeah, you're rolling tape for this, bud, and I'm going to send it over to Fox.
Yeah, Mr. Bonfire, I'm doing it.
Is that the young disabled man?
Yes, that's Bud.
Okay, thank you very much, Bud.
My name's Bud.
Bud.
All right, this is Who Let the Dogs Out. Go ahead, Mr. Bonafide, whenever you want.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm just dancing around. I'm moving around. When the party was nice, the party was... hold on, I just belched. I don't want that on the tape.
All right, roll it back.
Rolling back.
How you been?
I'm doing very good. Gladys and I are going to go up and see Susan next week.
Up in Portland?
Yeah, she's her and the guy she married are having an anniversary. So
you don't like her, your son-in-law, do you?
No, I do not. No, sir, I do not.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
You're dancing around?
Yeah, I'm moving back and forth. Okay, here we go. And when the party was nice, the party was jumping, and everybody having a ball, ha-ho. I tell the fella start the name calling, and the girls report to the call. The poor dog showed on who let the dogs out bark. Bark, barker. Who let the...
Whoa, man. What do you mean, bark, bark?
Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. Don't ever get between a dog and his meat. I'm singing this song.
No, it's not bark. It's woof, you know, woof, woof.
The sheet that I'm looking at says bark like a... It says bark.
Bark like a dog.
You raising your voice to me?
No, sir. You're supposed to bark like a dog.
Well, that's how a dog barks.
By saying the word bark.
Yes. Now, if I could continue... Now you got me so peeled.
Go ahead, dude.
What's he doing?
He's dancing.
What did the retard say?
Nothing. Just continue.
When the party was nice, the party was jumping. Everybody was having a ball. I tell the fellas start the name calling, and the girls report to the call. Who let the dogs out? Bark, bark, bark. Who let the dogs out? Bark, 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 bark. Who let the GD? Forget it.
What's the matter?
I slipped. You know, I'm just too anxious.
Well, just put that energy into the song.
All right. When the party was starting and the GD party was going, I told the GD guys to get the sluts over here. Who let the sluts out? Woo! Woo! Woo!
All right, that's it, man.
No, I want to do it.
You're not going to... Nobody's putting you on American Idol with Who Let the Sluts Out.
Oh, so you're telling a war veteran, huh, what to say and what he can't say, huh?
Yeah, man, I'm just telling you.
I'm doing it my way. Who let the whores out?
Okay, good for you, Lloyd. There's a flashback. Lloyd Bonafide from last year and Who Let the Sluts Out, as requested by Sean in Milwaukee, who went into a karaoke bar in Milwaukee and sang that right after he heard it on our show. That's a really nice thing to do, Sean, in the hometown of Jeffrey Dahmer. And I bet you anything, a Milwaukee cop walked in, went, huh, had himself a Coke and left. Probably didn't do what he should have done, which was to pull you off the stage, bring you down to the station house, do a full strip search, and then and only then let you go. You freak, you. 1-800-449-8686. And we have a caller here, John, who was at the taping on Tuesday night down there at Sony. John, how are you?
I'm doing good. So how are you doing?
So did I meet you?
Yeah, I was the guy who snuck past security
Did I sign a CD thing for you?
Oh, yeah, you signed that for me and called me a scumbag, and then, you know, security pulled me in the alley and stuff.
No, they didn't kick you out, did they? You were on the stage floor, if I remember.
Yeah, I went down the stage floor. They were very cool.
And so what'd you think of the show, man?
You know, the show was actually pretty good. I think I was kind of worried that it was going to be something cheesy, and but it actually came out pretty good. And, and oh, my God, those women.
We got some hot babes.
Oh, my God.
Sarah Shahi. And so who do you think was the most beautiful of the three?
I've got to say the Shahi girl, man.
Yeah,
I like
brunette.
That kind of that Latin spice and
she's all Latin. You know, but the problem with Hispanics is they carry switchblades. Otherwise, I'd be all over that. Well, I am married. Or as Chris Norton would say, he'd climb on it. Now, and then we have Sarah Alexander, our little blonde from Britain. She's a doll, isn't she?
Oh, man. I got something for European girls. That accent just, oh.
She's a beauty, man.
Does it to me,
And then little Kali, she plays, she plays Principal Wiggins, and she's the kind of woman you would just want to gag and tie to a bed. They may find in a blue barrel later on and have to bring in the hazmat guys, but come on.
Yeah, but you were really cool, and the show is actually very, very good. I'm very happy with it.
Well, that's cool, and you know, and here's my feeling on that show, and I actually said this to Matt Winston, said it to me, the guy that plays Mitch Lenk, you know, the geek, you know, oh, I better get started on her Coco. Mitch said, or Matt said, and we both agreed that we have to make sure that it's 9:30 humor.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's following My Name Is Earl, which has pee jokes in it. All right. Now, I understand that My Name Is Earl is kind of a redneck show, and it's Earl is the kind of guy who's likely going to do pee jokes. But the fact of the matter is it's got to have an edge to it, and that's the only thing that you know, I want to make sure. I can't do anything about it. I'm just a hired gun, but I'm hoping the producers. But we got two really great producers, Matt Tarsis and Bill Rubel. This is beginning to sound like JoJo on the radio, isn't it? Hey, JoJo, what are you doing? Oh, it's cool, man. Tomorrow, I'm going to go in and have my face lifted. Then I've got a shoot with the. Anyway, I'm glad you liked it.
It was awesome, man. And cool. I've got to admit, for a longtime fan, you were pretty pretty cool.
Oh, thanks, brother. Well, hi, I appreciate man. That. And it was. How did you like that? You know, the poor guys that do the warm up in those shows.
Oh, he was working hard.
That
but I
dude
admit,
worked his ass off.
He was working his ass off, and most of that crowd, I think, was homeless veterans.
Yeah, they were pretty. Except three of them were okay. That was my wife and two kids, but. Even they are kind of homeless veterans in a way. But at one point I heard, we were down on the stage and I heard this chick singing, the girl who was singing the country music.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Jim Burrows, who's the director, goes, she's got to be a shill. Meaning, in other words, did he just pull her out of the crowd?
He supposedly pulled her out of the crowd, but she was real. My brother was hitting on her afterwards.
She's a real chick,
yeah,
but I bet
chick,
you
yeah.
she was like set up, you know, like the dude had her come down or something.
I don't know. Anyway. She was leaving in, I don't know, she was leaving on the bus, so.
She was?
Yeah. Yeah, right there out
okay,
on
I'm scared.
Washington or whatever,
yeah,
Overland or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, now I'm frightened. All right, man, thank you very much
right,
for being there for us. And we hope the show does a big number, and then we're all, you know, we're just all, well, you'll never see any of the money. You're just a fan, but yeah. I will.
Hi, Phil.
Thank you very much.
I'll hang up and listen.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you very much, sir, for going to see our program. You'll never see any of the money. What a thing to say, but true. We just want the show to be a hit. I don't care, man. I got a contract. My deal with NBC, yeah, sure, it's a couple of bucks a week. Big deal. Wouldn't cover tap water. But the fact that... the fact that we could just get on the air with that, we're very, very grateful. Did I tell you about this press conference? I told you about that. Well, as things progress, we'll lay it on you. But again, if you want to see a nice shot of who we were talking about, on our homepage, you can see a picture. There's Sarah, and there is the two Sarahs, we call them. Actually, the brunette, we call her Tex because she's from Texas. And then there's Cully and there's Sarah for Britain. And it says standing back row. And if you're looking at Cully Roca, you may think she's a midget. She's actually sitting on the back of the couch, but I didn't know how the hell to do it. My son took the picture. What does he know? 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, reminding you that our website is www.philhenryshow.com, and our souvenir shop contains so many wonderful things for the Phil Henry fan and your family, including... brand new merchandise from Ted's of Beverly Hills. That's right, the Ted Bell bowling shirt. We got a new bowling shirt from Ted Bell. I'm sure we do. Yeah, it's the Miami shirt. Check it out. Ted's of Beverly Hills is open in Miami. And more importantly, Bobby Dooley's Deo Spa. And it's this is what it says. It says on the T-shirt, rich, waxed, and relaxed. Dig that. Bobby's Deo Spa T-shirt, new at the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
Let me get I think I've got R.C. Collins on the line. He is a young man, a military cadet from Bradley Military Academy in Altadena. R.C., how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good, Mr. Henry, and on behalf of the cadets of Bradley Military Academy, we want to say good evening. We're really enjoying your broadcasting.
Thank you. What did you want to talk about?
Yes, sir. I told the man that we're pretty kind of upset here about the number of people that are wearing those earpiece cell phones. They walk around like they think they're military or something. It's pretty, it's got a lot of people pretty angry. And
you're talking about the people that wear their cell phones in their ears?
Yes, sir. A lot of them have their cell phones lodged in their ear like they think they're some kind of air traffic controller at a Marine air base. And a lot of them have the mouthpiece like they think they're so cool taking orders at McDonald's. And the whole thing just makes those of us in the military or aspiring to be in the military, it makes us look like a regular creep, like there's nothing special about us.
Well, all right. This is a convenience, as you know, for people who want to have some safety, right?
Well, I understand that, Mr. Henry, if you're driving in your car. But if you're just walking around like an average, you know, I wanted to use the phrase douchebag, but I realized that's probably... But if you're walking around like an average douche, and you've got the headset in, what is that about? Oh, I'm sorry, I got to use my hands to walk? The point that we're...
What is your point, man? In other words, aesthetically, you don't like it?
Well, no, I mean, what we're saying...
I understand that it bothers you, but the aesthetics of it bother you, but is there anything more concrete than you think everybody looks like a douche who walks around with a... And maybe I agree with you.
Then you do agree.
Maybe I do. It doesn't mean I want to do anything about it.
Okay, that's one... He agrees. Commandant Wireman is going to join us...
Well, hold on for a minute, man. Did you know about this, Wayne?
Sir, this is Commandant Harvey Wireman. How are you, sir?
Good evening, sir.
Yes, sir. What the young cadet is trying to say
Here comes Commandant Wireman!
Come on already, you dumb...
Commandant Wireman will be here in a moment.
He's already on with us.
I'm already on.
Stand by!
Phil, never mind the kid. He's one of our junior cadets. He's a gung-ho kid, but his father... I'm in touch with his father. The point that I'm trying to make is that when the average civilian has one of those things in his ear, it demoralizes our young people who want to make the military a career, because military people wear hearing devices and goggles, things in your ear, anything that's stuck out of any sensory device, that's military. And when the civilian walks around with goggles on, I can't tell you how what that means.
What civilians walk around wearing goggles?
What do you mean?
Well, name one.
You've been to the beach lately?
I mean, are you talking about swimming goggles?
Any kind of goggle. You know, the kids like to do even beer goggles. You know?
No, I don't know. I mean...
I'm talking about if a civilian... Look, if a guy in a military uniform has... Like one eye that's half closed because maybe it's glass. That's understandable. If a guy in a military uniform has the sleeve pinned up because there's nothing to put in it, so he might as well just pin it up.
Like he doesn't have an arm.
Yeah. Not like he doesn't have an arm. He doesn't have an arm. Say a civilian does the same thing. And a lot of civilians get their kicks putting their arm behind their back and then pinning up the one sleeve as if they...
What Commander Wireman is talking about...
He's talking about guys that are doing practical jokes.
But the point is, if you pin your sleeve up, you should only be military. And
well, what if I'm not military, but I don't have an arm and I pin my sleeve up?
You've got to let it flap free.
Yes, you must let it flap free as a civilian. Only the military get to pin it up and make it look neat. Now, the other thing is...
All right, let me write this down. Goggles... Headsets that you attach to your ears, and pinning your sleeve up.
That's correct, yes.
Yes, sir.
Well, anything else? Oh, wait a minute. And the half-lidded eye, which means you got a glass eye. That's cool if you're military.
Yes. Otherwise, you got to get a Sandy Duncan eye.
One that just glares at you.
What the hell?
Is this the right station? What's wrong? This guy sounds like a jackball.
Oh, Mr. Henry Spock.
Wait a minute, man. I'm asking you. You can talk to me. I'm here. What do you mean a Sandy Duncan eye?
The Sandy Duncan eye is a big, wide, glaring eye. That's what civilians have. But the military glass eye is slightly lidded, almost like an Al Michaels lidded. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't, man. I didn't know that they had special prosthetic eyes for civilians and military. I didn't know.
Yes, sir, they do. What we call in the military, the lidded eye is the hat, but the Sandy Duncan big full-on glow eye.
Yeah, like she's giving you the evil eye.
That's for civilians.
That's correct. Now, what other thing were we talking about, Commandant? What rank are you?
I'm a cadet.
Yeah, cadet. You know what? I'm going to make you kiss the gunner's daughter.
Zip. All right, hang up. Okay, man, so now you know. If you got that Sandy Duncan eye, man. What the hell? Cats walking around with the things in their ear. I don't care. You may look like a jackball, but you know what? Maybe some people need the hands-free phone while they're walking along. Maybe if they don't have both hands to use while they're walking, they'll fall over. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Very well, you will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, it's time now for email here on the Phil Hendry Show. This is from Specialist Carlton Joy at Fort Hood, Texas. I want to thank you. I enlisted in the Army last February, Phil. I missed your show almost more than I did my girlfriend during basic training. So one day I wrote to her to have her order some of your best of CDs so I could get a Hendry fix after I'd gotten out of that hellhole Fort Benning. Yes, I listened to them till I wore them out. They still make me laugh my ass off. But I finally wisened up and had her get a backstage pass so she could send me audio CDs of your show while I was at Fort Huachuca for interrogator training. What do you mean, Huachuca? Hey, dude, don't you think it's your girlfriend's working a little hard here? Then I had my girlfriend steal a car, drive it to Fort Benning. I hopped over the wall late one night, and we drove off down the road while listening to your best of CDs. I'm currently AWOL from the United States military, but happy? Oh, my God, you wouldn't know how much. In the head! Those CDs helped me keep my sanity filled for the 7 months I lived in a 60-man open bay barracks. It probably means crap to you, but you kept my sanity with your hilarious bits and perspective on everything from Starbucks to Iraq. I deploy to Iraq this summer, and you'll have at least one dedicated listener somewhere in Iraq. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Hey, Phil, you know what? We got to get this guy a free backstage pass, too. If you can prove you're in the military, you get a free backstage pass, but you got to prove that you're in the military and it's like a cool job. I'm kidding about the cool job part. Hey, Phil, listen to you every day. I want to thank you for inspiring me to quit smoking. When you provided an on-air rant against the tobacco companies enslaving us, I got my back up and I quit. And that was in October 2003. Too bad you haven't got the pair to do the same thing. What a hypocrite. Thanks again. Russ Deneau, St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Far out. This one here is from some cat named Bud. He says, is that picture on the link to the Raj Fanin blog, the president of Iran? The answer is yes, sir, it is. Love the show. Thanks for making the backstage pass available. Bud needs some serious eyeglasses. Yuck. That comes from Bill.
Where is that?
Those are the caricatures of you on. Oh, by the way, Sweet Feathery Jesus. I think we got an email in here from some chick whose her username on Sweet Feathery Jesus is Dirty Pool. So look her up, man. Phil, I love you, man. Not in a Brokeback Mountain kind of a way. I do love you. Steve in Topeka. By the way, we got a Brokeback Mountain joke into, well, I don't want to say where, but it has something to do with a TV show I just shot. I kissed her. Dear Phil, you're a sick, twisted man, Henry. That rain egg and bit was one of the most offensive, disturbing, tasteless, and classless things I've ever heard. In other words, it's already a classic. Chris Peters in Petertown. Here she is. Hey, Phil, I'm really looking forward to watching the new TV show you're on, and I've spread the word to all my bros online. I haven't seen any impressive promotion of the show, so I guess I have to do it. Take care. Krista, also known as Dirty Pool at Sweet Feathery Jesus. Yeah, baby. Hey, Phil, how I found your show from the middle of nowhere, Roswell, New Mexico, is quite a story. Your show really helps us pass the time. I've been a backstage pass member for 3 years, and the charter pilot bit you did on January 2nd was the best yet. My ribs are still aching. Are you a fly fisherman? Only a fly fisherman would say brown trout.
What?
Hey, Phil, what's going on with suing your property manager? Did you give up and drop it, or are you going to put up a fight like you got a pair? Please let us know. Some guy who wouldn't sign his name. Dude, you know, do I look like I got all the money in the world? Well, I got to fight everybody's fights? The answer is, you're right. I'm too scared. Well, I ain't got the time. Phil, you are bar none the funniest man alive. I read above that you see all your email, and so I just needed you to read this and to thank you for all the hard work you're doing to make us all laugh a lot. Looking forward to your new show, Teachers, and I love your dual residence marriage deal. It makes perfect sense to me. You're a trailblazer, sir. Helen in D.C. Well, Helen, I'm sorry that you'll never live to see that, because with a name like Helen, you've got to be over 80, right? So am I kidding? Or that's a cruel thing. I'm sorry. I love that dual marriage idea. I'm going to try that. Helen turned 96 last week. Anyway, here is one from Jay. Your show is fantastic. I've been listening for years. On Monday night's show, you played the swanky organ version of Girl from Ipanema. I'm dying to find an album of that swanky organ music. Can you point me in the right direction? Keep up the good work. Jay, it's on this Capitol Records series. It's the same thing that we're playing right here. It's real cheesoid. You know, it's real olive oil stuff, you know? It's that greasy palm stuff. And it's on the Capitol Records. It's called Ultra Lounge. And basically what Capitol Records did is they went into their basement one day and they pulled all the tapes of stuff they owned the rights to. And you'll notice, like, the artists are cats like... I mean, it's like this, you know, Dean Martin. I'm not saying that Dean Martin isn't a big dude, but some of the stuff he did, Capitol retained the rights to. And then... Sam Butra and the Wailers and just weird Peggy Lee with some weird stuff. And they took all this, put it onto discs, and right when the Swingers thing hit, like, what was that, like 96? When that Vince Vaughn movie came out, Swingers, they released all this stuff, and it got to be really popular for a while. And I used to play it at parties, you know, like you put that on a stereo and you got people in bathing suits. There's something that's just too Vegas about it. And just keep playing this song over and over again. Hey, Phil, do you want to maybe play anything different? I don't give a crap. Anything, man. Like, oh, God, here we go with a kick in the head again. Another cocktail. Put on another song, man! All right, here we go with another. Oh, we got to take a break, bud? Is that why you're waving your arms at me with your freaking smelly pits?
Pretty much.
We'll take a break. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, the word came down today. If you're a fan of Reservoir Dogs, a lot of movies. Chris Penn, terrific actor, guy that played Nice Guy Eddie in Reservoir Dogs, I guess, has passed on. Chris Penn has died. They don't know the cause of death. He was a relatively young guy. He was in his 40s. And I'm not going to speculate as to whether he was doing drugs. I don't know what was wrong with the guy. I can tell you one thing, though. If you're fat, that's all you need. And he was heavy. So am I. I'm fat, but I keep living. Now, what is that? I don't understand. Other fat guys drop, and I'm still plugging along, man. Doing a few Marlboros every day. Somebody said to me the other day, what'd you have for breakfast? I said, an Oreo cookie and a Marlboro. Why? And one of the people came by, and he said, do you want to get breakfast? I said, yeah, that sounds pretty good. You know, it was really funny. We got done. There's a, when you do, and I'm just sharing this with you because this has been such a major part of my day. When you do a television show, here's what you do. Here's what happens. You drive down the street, and there's the thing that says there's the studio. You drive in, and they give you a pass, and you swipe that by the thing, and the thing goes up, and then you go into a parking garage where they assign you a space. Then you get out of your car. Then you walk onto this huge lot, and it's a factory. Any factory you've ever been to, that's what a movie lot is. Huge building after huge building with all kinds of people going to work into these buildings. Some of them are cats in cowboy costumes, you know, actors. Others, like, they're shooting Spider-Man 3 in the stage next to us. I see guys in these harnesses, these really heavy stunt harnesses, going out and getting themselves a sandwich at the, you know, at the catering truck or something. They go back in. Guys with cups of coffee.
Yeah, I don't know. I was working on Superman 1, you know, this is a way better gig.
And I kind of looked in there, and they're doing a lot of blue screen stuff in there. So anyway, and then I had to go over to this building where we sit down at a table, we do a table read. And it was a really great read we had the other day, and the script was funny. And I felt really good, you know, as I was talking with everybody. And I walk out of there, and I'm bopping down, and they have these trailers. And in each trailer are two dressing rooms. And they gave me one. It says there, Phil Hendry, and my character's name, Dick. That's his name. And I go in there and I sat down. I started to read the script over because I knew that in an hour we wanted to go in and they wanted to rehearse it. And suddenly I felt like I wanted to just maybe walk over to a large tree, throw a rope over it, and hang myself. Now, why? Why? I'll tell you why. Blood sugar. I hadn't had anything to eat. I come bopping out of there feeling just as fantastic as a guy. Oh, this is going to be a really good day. And I wanted to just do a Judas Iscariot. Suddenly, you know what? I can either, like, be happy or I think I'm going to just swing from a tree. And I realized my blood sugar was so low, I needed to get something to eat. So I went in and I had turkey bacon because that's very hip and very PC and no pig gets oinked off, right? So I had some turkey bacon. Didn't help at all. No, it was very good and it helped a lot. See how funny that? Then that's the life of being on a movie set. You're sitting there, you're in your trailer, you're looking at the Spider-Man outfits, you have some turkey bacon, and suddenly you just want to end it all. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.